presentation today, Veganism and Compassion, will be made by Jennifer Ashford. Now, Jennifer Ashford is a vegan and an animal welfare activist. Originally from Winnipeg, she spent 10 years traveling the UK and Europe before settling down in Regina. Jennifer's presentation will start with a brief description of veganism, how she reconciled her love of animals and what was on her plate, and how easy it was to make the switch. The presentation will also include a brief description of how animal agriculture affects the planet, both ecologically and economically, and how veganism is the most compassionate choice for the support of other species and humans all over the world. Jennifer is a consummate activist. She's a former Catholic who's moved in the direction of spirituality, and we'd like to welcome you here today.
Thank you so much, everybody, for having me here today. You'll have to forgive me. I have all of my notes on my phone. I'm not very good at following a script that I write, so I just sort of leave myself little notes. So as you're told, I am a vegan. I'm actually quite a new vegan. I was vegetarian for about a year. And then through sort of different meetings of different people, I learned the truth of the egg industry and the dairy industry as well. And I decided that really cutting out all animal products was the most compassionate and sustainable way to live. So I grew up a meat eater. I grew up on a dairy farm in the Manitoba Bible Belt. So it was meat, potatoes, and God. That's how I grew up. not unlike a lot of you, I'm sure. Those are sort of the three pillars of my life. And then as I matured, I realized that, you know, Catholicism wasn't really for me. I didn't believe in a lot of the doctrines, and I didn't really agree with a lot of the things that we were taught and then the way that people acted. I almost found it very two-faced. We would go to church on Sundays and tell everybody how fantastic we all were, and then we would go home and my mom would talk about, you know, Susie behind her back, and we would talk about how glorious and phenomenal and almost magical the world is, and then we would have a deer on our plate. So it was very, very hard for me to understand the dichotomy of being Catholic and loving animals, but essentially murdering them and putting all of this negative energy and hate into the world. So I sort of distanced myself from the church at that point. It was a number of years before I made the switch to vegetarianism. It was actually, I saw Dr. Jane Goodall, the famous primatologist, and deeply compassionate activist, speak at the University of Winnipeg last year, on September 11th, as it were. And she basically said, you can't eat animals and call yourself a compassionate person, because all living beings on this world are sentient. They love and they feel and they experience joy and pain and fear. And if you're contributing to that, you're not doing everything you can to make the world a better place. And that resonated very, very deeply with me. I've always considered myself a very compassionate person. I'm a very empathic person. I take on others' emotions, their pain, their fear, their joy, very deeply within myself. And so knowing that I was contributing to the suffering of sentient beings just wasn't something I can reconcile within myself. So I stopped eating meat shortly after I stopped eating dairy and eggs. And I felt spiritually much calmer. And I felt that I was being much more true to who I was in my heart, knowing that I do everything I can in my life every single day to reduce the harm I put on this planet. And not just to non-humans, but humans as well. Veganism is the only sustainable way for the human race to go forwards. the amount of land that agro-industry takes, not just within North America, not just within the Americas, not just within the Western world, but within the entire world, and the devastating consequences it has on other people is just so immense that it's hard to put into words. There's land that can be reused for so many other things. The grains that are used just to produce a single hamburger can feed a family of four for a year. And when you really think about that, every time you have a hamburger, you're taking the food out of the mouths of a family of four for an entire year. It's just incredible. So think about all of the people you could feed if you gave up meat for a week or a month or a year or the rest of your life. If everybody went vegan tomorrow, there'd be no such thing as global hunger. There would be no children that went to bed hungry. There would be no starvation. There would be so much more money to help those in need. Agro-industry is directly responsible for the oppression of a lot of third world countries because they're told that meat is the only way to live and you have to give us your land so that we can grow the grain so that we can feed these cows and we'll give you a little bit of it and just enough to survive maybe. Whereas if that wasn't the case, they could have their lands, they could grow their own foods, they could live sustainably, they could feed their children and their children's children, and so could we. So for me, learning all of this in a very short period of time was incredibly overwhelming, like I'm sure it is for a lot of people. And I decided to make the change, and that just doing it for me and my husband and my family wasn't enough. I really wanted to share the information that I'd learned with other people, people that I knew were compassionate, people that I knew had a deep spirituality or a deep love of humans and animals and the earth, which is one of the reasons I'm here today. Heather was so wonderful in putting me in contact with this, and she said, you know, everybody at the Unitarian Fellowship in Regina is very open-minded, and they're all very wonderful people, and they're extremely compassionate, and I can actually feel that, which is why I'm sort of on the edge of tears right now, because you're all giving really nice vibes, and it's really nice to be here. So really, the main point of me talking here today is just to remind people that when we take on a role of the caretaker of the earth, this isn't what we were meant to be. We weren't meant to bulldoze forests and chain our brothers. We weren't meant to murder for an unsustainable life. We weren't meant to do a lot of the things that we do. It's very similar, the Abrahamic religious creeds, most religious creeds, and the creed of veganism. And it's basically do as little harm to the earth as possible. And I think most people, that's just a given. You don't go and punch your neighbor. You don't kick a dog. And for me, you don't kill a pig so that you can have bacon for breakfast. You don't rape a cow and steal her baby and lock it in a box so that you can have milk in your cereal. It's not okay when you have so many cruelty-free options. And that's not to make anybody that does eat meat or dairy or eggs feel bad, because a lot of people don't know the truth. They don't know the reality of where their meals come from. And there's a lot of industries that do a very, very good job of keeping it that way. You vote with your money. It's sad but true. And every time you purchase eggs or purchase meat, you're voting for cruelty. And I don't think most people want that to be their vote. Like most sane people wouldn't vote for Donald Trump. I think most sane people wouldn't vote for murder and rape. At the end of the day, the choice is yours. I don't think that everybody here is going to go home and empty their fridges and freezer and throw out all their eggs and throw out all their meat and never look back and go, yeah, that crazy pink-haired girl that spoke to us today, she changed my life. But I would hope that every one of you sort of goes home and sits and thinks about the choices that you do make on a daily basis. And if it's as simple as reducing your meat consumption one day a week or switching to soy milk as opposed to dairy milk or using, you know, applesauce in your baking instead of eggs, you're making a difference and you're making the world a more compassionate place and a more loving place. And you're really healing the world, because the one thing that we've done above any other to destroy this planet is to steal and murder its inhabitants. And we can reverse it. We can make a difference. Every person's small change, if you add it up, makes a huge difference. So, you know, have soy milk in your coffee tomorrow morning. Stop at a local vegan bakery. There's some fantastic ones in the city. You know, have tofu scramble tomorrow morning for breakfast instead of scrambled eggs. You'd be amazed how good it is, honestly. I grew up on a farm, I know. Just try and make a couple of small changes over the next little while and see how much better you feel, not just physically, but spiritually as well, knowing that you're not contributing to pain and suffering, but you're actually harboring love and compassion. And it really makes you feel better. It makes your body feel better. It makes your spirit feel better. And maybe one day you'll be the crazy activist that stands up in front of a room full of strangers and says, maybe I haven't changed your life, but if you don't eat that bacon tomorrow, you've changed the life of an animal. You've made a huge difference in the life of one sentient being. And if we can all make a huge difference in the life of one sentient being, just think of how many lives we can save. If anybody has any questions on veganism, yeah? Cool. Aha, we have a microphone.
Yes, we do. First, Donna.
I grew up thinking that I needed that I needed a tremendous amount of protein, and since that time, you know, I realized that that was probably a lot of should I say propaganda for this. Encouraging people to eat more and more meat and more protein. Could you talk a little bit about the health benefits and are there any detrimental aspects to being a vegan or being a vegetarian?
Absolutely. So it's actually been clinically proven that humans today get too much protein. We don't break down animal-based proteins as well as a lot of people would like you to think we do. People sort of point to their canine teeth and go, but lions, I'm a carnivore, look at these. And that's not true. We have to cook our meat, and in the cooking, we actually solidify those proteins and break down the lipids, so our bodies don't absorb them properly. Beans have a fantastic source of protein. Protein is a big one that I hear a lot for veganism, and it's hard to explain how ridiculous the thought that we need a high protein diet is. We leave extremely sedentary lives these days. We don't need huge amounts of protein to go and forage for days before we can find a meal big enough to sustain ourselves before the next forage. We don't need to hoard our food anymore and try and absorb as much protein and fat as possible so that we can get through our winters. I know, we live on the prairies. We still hibernate. But at least we have food on hand these days. A lot of the propaganda that came with the meat and dairy industry was post-war, and it was trying to drive the economy. And it was when there was still not so much global trade, and we were trying to pump money back into our economy and the economy in the U.S., the Western world mostly, and that was great. The problem is that it was wrong. We did it the wrong way, and that kind of snowballed to the point where the meat and dairy industry have an obscene amount of money and therefore an obscene amount of power. And, you know, even the Manitoba Wheat Board, because it's the one that I'm most familiar with, has said, you know, you don't actually need that much meat, but don't stop eating it, because that's where we get all our money from. And it's true. So where proteins come in is we do actually get way too much protein as human beings. And you can get all of the nutrients that you need from plants. I mean, when you cook a steak, you season it with plants. You don't just hack the bit of cow off and eat it whole and don't cook it and don't season it, because that's disgusting. Our bodies are made to break down plants. We absorb plant proteins much, much better than we absorb animal proteins, and we actually produce less waste. So it's kind of twofold. I'm actually going to use my husband for an example here. I'm going to ask him to stand up. I'm really sorry. This wasn't planned, but now I feel kind of bad. Over the last 6 months, being on a plant-based diet, my husband's lost 96 pounds.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
We were actually just saying today, my mom bought him that sweater 2 years ago, and it didn't go around him. Still a little bit tight, but I think it looks okay. You can sit down. Thanks, hon. So animal proteins and animal fats, they sit in our bodies because we don't process them properly. And they either create waste or they create excess fat on us. And he's a phenomenal, very healthy man that works 80 hours a week on a plant-based diet and has an incredibly physical job. He hasn't been to the doctor in 4 months. He hasn't had a cold. He hasn't had the flu. He hasn't had a cough. And he's a smoker. So, so when you switch to a plant-based diet, you actually have this, your body is so happy on it. Like, it just sheds all the toxins, it sheds all this excess weight that you've been holding on to because your body thinks you're in starvation mode with this meat, and you just feel so much better. Your health improved so much. My skin cleared up. He lost all this weight. It's just, and I mean, we haven't changed anything else in our lives. We still work too much, and we still don't sleep enough, and he still smokes, but we're both so much healthier. And it's been proven that it actually helps with a lot of chronic diseases. My mother has myasthenia gravis. I don't know if you know what it is, anybody. It's basically the white blood cells in her body have triggered her neurotransmitters, and it tells them that they're foreign, and it breaks them down, and she spent 18 months in intensive care. 12 of those months, she was on full life support, breathing system, little electrode beating her heart. She had absolutely no muscle control whatsoever. And a plant-based diet can cure her. And that's immense. She cuts out meat, she cuts out dairy, and she's back home. And no amount of medication could do that for her. So just the healing ability of a plant-based diet really is also phenomenal. And I could ramble on about this forever, so I do hope I answered your question in some way. Was there anybody else?
Yeah, you were talking about, you can get animal protein anywhere. What people don't even know the difference. Our vegetable protein, you can make meatballs and hamburgers and things without meat, and people don't even know the difference. But I think it also depends on where you live. Our early people were hunters and gatherers. Our prairie people depended on the bison to live. The Indians depended on the salmon. And if you were an Inuit, you couldn't be a vegetarian.
Definitely not.
That would definitely be out. But your point between being a vegan and a vegetarian is the fact that being a vegan, these animals are kept confined in order to produce their product. Is that what you're telling us?
Yeah, so the difference between vegan and vegetarian is vegetarians tend to still drink milk. still eat eggs, cheese, all of that. As a vegan, we don't eat any animal products. We don't use any animal products. That includes wools from sheep, leather, the skin of cows, bees honey. Basically, anything that is derived from an animal, we don't eat or use. And that's because the fundamental beliefs of veganism is that animals are not put on this planet for us to use and abuse. Just like people of different races weren't put on this planet for us to use, neither are animals. Just because we're different and we don't necessarily understand them doesn't mean that they're lesser than us. So the truth of the dairy industry today and the truth of the egg industry today is very cruel. The animals are confined to the point where they can't move. A lot of them aren't allowed to turn around or have the ability to lie down or sit down. In the egg industry, chickens lose all of their feathers because they're kept in the dark. A lot of the time they die from prolapse because they're constantly made to produce eggs. They have their beaks seared off because they're kept so close together, and it's to stop them from hurting each other for space. And in a lot of ways, that's almost more cruel than eating meat, because when you eat a pig or a cow, they grow up, they live, they reach a certain age, they die, and you eat them. And dairy cows are confined for 6 to 8 years in little metal boxes so that you can have your milk, and their babies are taken away and used. The males are used for veal, and the females are kept in a small crate to grow up and to be milked. So that's the fundamental difference between vegetarianism and veganism. I think veganism is important today because of the industry of animal agriculture. I think I've definitely had a couple of differing opinions in the vegan community, but I do have a friend. He lives in a cabin in the woods, and he gathers what he needs, and he kills one deer a year, and that sustains him and his family for the year. And I'm all for that lifestyle. I think that's brilliant for him. I don't agree with the fact that he kills the deer, but that's a much less cruel way to live than most civilization right now. So that's the sort of fundamental difference between veganism and vegetarianism, and how you sort of reconcile your past and the past of a lot of beliefs and creeds and races with today. Today it's very easy to live without animal products. I make a fantastic meatloaf that's meatless. most people don't know the difference. Baking, too, is so easy to do without animal products, and there's really no need to use them in today's society.
Hi. Okay, a couple of questions. You bring up a lot of interesting points. One of them is I've been a vegetarian for quite a long time, and I don't really care if things taste like meat, really. I actually like the smell of certain meats, but I don't want to eat them for obvious reasons, but for my reasons. But no, I don't care. And in fact, vegan cookbooks are usually really good. Like the foods are really interesting and good. And they're often from all over the world, too. A lot of interesting selections and stuff. My question is, I find that when I'm eating with other people, like in a restaurant or something, they become very concerned that I get food. You know what I mean? They say, well, it's got to be something they need. They'll start going through the menu for me and say, you can eat that, Dave, you can eat that. I'm thinking, yeah, that's true, and so forth. It's just kind of, I don't know what it is, but do you find the same kind of thing? That's not my question, but yeah.
I do, actually. Yeah. Yesterday we had a leaving party, and an adoptions officer as well, an animal adoptions officer. And we had a leaving party for one of our coworkers, and they got a big cake in, and all of a sudden somebody looked up and went, did anybody get anything for Jennifer to eat?
Yeah.
And everybody was so concerned with the fact that I wasn't eating the cake, and I couldn't have the cake. And I was like, I'm good. Like, I got a Clif Bar in the back. Like, I am 100% able to cater to my own belly. Like, I don't go without.
Could does kind of a lot of rituals in our society depend on food or are food based, a lot of them. And at least as far as vegetarianism, people are becoming more aware of what people might be vegetarian. It's not totally bizarre. My real question, my final question, make it short, is I've got this little elevator talk, you know. I don't want to kill animals to eat. I don't have to kill, you know, whatever. The planet can't support that, a lot of the things you're saying. 3 or 4 points, you know, plus the stuff about animal additives, you know, that were in the old days or a few years ago was just huge, you know.
Yeah.
So things people can understand, you know, without too much stress. Yeah, except they don't understand about killing, but that's just a belief. Anyway, so do you have like a little elevator talk when you see somebody and they say, well, what? You know, what do you mean? How do you live? How do you do anything? Do you just have 3 or 4 points you make?
I do. So we were at, I do a lot of, from my own life, by the way, I don't know if you guys have noticed. We were at the Rochdale Rocka House the other day, and I was wearing my Regina Pig Save t-shirt, and the girl went, so what is that, Regina Pig Save? And I was like, well, we're a vegan activist group, and you could see her starting to glaze over. And I was like, basically what we do is I just spread a little bit of information about veganism and how the animal industry really works, and you know that it's very easy to live a sustainable and happy and even fat life on vegan foods, and we don't really go without. And she was like, really? Because I thought, you know, you guys just ate salads, and that's kind of what most people think, right? Is you go to a restaurant, you eat a salad, and you go home. And I was like, no, Oreos are vegan. Like, cakes are vegan. You can totally make this, and you can totally make that. And I try and tailor it depending on the person. But most of all, it's just a quick sort of couple of points of what veganism really is. For some reason, people get veganism and gluten-free mixed up a lot. Not really sure why. I like bread. I love bread. But I just try and sort of dispel some myths really quickly and just give them a quick couple of foods that they see in their everyday life that they might enjoy that are vegan. Just to prove that it's not that hard, it's very easy to do, and that we're not crazy aliens that have 3 heads. Anybody else?
Yeah.
Yes and no. There are humane farms. I mean, there are some places that your steak runs happily and free as a little cow for 3 or 4 years and has a fantastic life. The only problem with that is the slaughter is the same. So whether your cow is left in a cage for its whole life or in a barn or gets to be free and play with other cows, at the end of the day, it's hung up by his hoof, his throat is slit, he's boiled alive, and he's disemboweled. And oftentimes they're screaming while it happens. And while yes, there are humane farms, there's no such thing as humane slaughter. And that's, I think, humane meat is something that people tell themselves to make them feel better, rather than a reality. So when people say that they're raised humanely, that can absolutely be true. You'll notice that nobody ever says they were slaughtered humanely, because there's no such thing as humane murder. You can't kill your neighbor humanely, you can't kill your dog humanely, and you can't kill your steak humanely. So, yes and no. Was there anybody else?
I was vegetarian for 7 years for lots of reasons, and then I stopped being vegetarian for probably the equal number of reasons. I see that there's a lot of negative in eating meat, but also in veganism. When I see people that are vegan and they're eating things that are processed a million miles away, right? And And that's one of the reasons that I really like eating a meat, like a well-balanced diet, which includes meat, because I can support local farmers. And I definitely know farmers that don't slaughter the way you're describing, that they have like processing on their own farm, and they are, I would say, a different breed. And I think there's, you know, different ways of slaughtering too, and they don't all just pack them up and send them to a processing plant. Some of them try to take care in how they process their meat too. I think to speak to Dave's point that there are farmers that do it differently and ways that, you know, it's like shop local, right? You, by buying something at this store, you're not like sending money to a CEO. You're actually paying for a kid's dance lessons and a boy's hockey skates. It's kind of like how we feel about supporting local farmers. And it's one of the reasons that I did step away from vegetarianism, because I was spending a lot of money supporting farmers in China and big corporations that it wasn't as sustainable in a sense as well.
Absolutely. So I'm just going to do two points on that. For one, yes, there is a lot of processed food in veganism. That's a personal choice, whether you do or not. I find that most people that say they're vegan are actually a plant-based diet rather than veganism, and the difference in that is, as a vegan, my main focus is causing as little harm and suffering to the planet as possible. I'm that person that steps over bugs and makes sure that bees have water, and if I find a wounded dragonfly, I bring it home and nurse it back to health or put it on my plants. Some people call that crazy. So for me, I do absolutely go to the processed soy meatballs every now and again, or the ground beef substitutes for convenience. And I think that the majority of people are more likely to go to vegetarianism or veganism because of the convenience foods. However, I don't honestly believe that there is such a thing as good killing. You can be as nice to an animal as you want, but, I mean, do you have pets?
We have a pet. I understand that.
Yeah, but, I mean, you can give your pet a fantastic life, but would you put a bolt gun to her head tomorrow? And then eat her?
I would if there was a reason for it. Probably. Like, I think there's, like, some... I don't know.
But define a reason. And, I mean, I'm not being argumentative, but I would genuinely like to know.
Or, like, if there's no food if I can't feed my kids and my dog, I'm gonna get rid of my dog so I can feed my kid. Like,
but would you plant carrots first? Would you plant a garden first? And that's the basis of veganism. Which is great.
Yeah.
So... like there's no reason to eat animals. And while, I mean, everybody you talk to eats humane meat, right? And I'm not saying that you don't, but everybody you talk to eats humane meat. Not everybody produces humane meat, so the two don't jive. I wouldn't kill my dog. I wouldn't kill my cats. I wouldn't kill a cow. I believe that all life on this earth is sacred, and that it all deserves the same amount of respect from us, and that there's no such thing as taking a life compassionately for your own gains. If your cat was suffering and you killed her, she's suffering. The cows you eat aren't suffering. They have happy lives, and it's like if somebody went and killed your cat tomorrow and ate it and was like, well, I was hungry. I was poor and I couldn't afford any food, and so I killed your cat. And that's how I see it, and that's how a lot of vegans see it. And everybody has their own views on it, and that's fine, but I can't agree with there being a humane option for meat eating. Because at the end of the day, you're taking another life when you don't have to sustain yourself. When you could grow food indoors all winter long and sustain yourself. So you can, actually. IKEA actually does indoor tower gardens. They're $149, and they can grow enough food to sustain a family of four for an entire winter. So they have different levels, and you can basically, there's different seed packages, and you can buy and plant whatever you want. So, I mean, it's 100% possible in this day and age to live totally on your own, support local business, and still not eat meat and not eat processed foods.
Yeah, we'll just have one more question.
Yep.
Yeah.
I was just wondering what your favorite part about being vegan is.
My favorite part about being vegan is probably talking to people like this that might sort of be more in the activist group of things, but I really enjoy sharing the love and the compassion and knowing that maybe I will inspire somebody to live a more compassionate lifestyle, and that they'll inspire somebody, and they'll inspire somebody, and they'll inspire somebody, and that maybe I could have a snowball effect. That and probably being able to look at my cat and my dog and my hamster and the assorted other adopted animals I have in my house that maybe I'm not supposed to have, and know that my choices are doing the best for them as well, and just knowing that I'm causing the least amount of pain to the world as possible.
All right, thank you very much.
I'd just like to say thank you for that. It takes courage to be bold and to be speaking out about issues that a lot of people don't agree with. Someone has to be first out there, and I know that I have vegetarians in my family, and my small effort actually makes a fair difference in that. A friend and I get together every so often, probably once or twice a month, and we have bean day, and we make bean recipes that are absolutely delicious out of this world. And so we make six of them, and we each get at least three jars from each. So we have 18 meals right there that are not, or that are meat-free. While I agree with you up here, boy, my habits aren't quite there yet. But anyway, I appreciate the fact that you've shared your knowledge with us and also your passion. Thank you.